Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Sun on the Strip. This is Brock Radke, the entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday with all the entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I'm recording this on Tuesday, September 8th, which means that you survived Labor Day weekend in Las Vegas 2020. Congratulations. If you were here, I hope you had a great time and were safe. There was definitely big crowds for the holiday weekend, which is pretty good news for the Strip. We had a major entertainment announcement this past week, a rather unexpected one, and that is that there's a new residency coming to the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace next summer, and it's Usher, the 8-time Grammy Award-winning singer and recording artist, a brilliant dancer and an actor, an all-around entertainer and showman. Usher will open his residency at Caesars on July 16th, 2021. Tickets for his first run of shows go on sale Thursday, September 10th. Those 12 shows are in July, and then they are in December 2021, including New Year's Eve and January 1st, 2022. Ticketmaster.com/UsherVegas is where you want to go for tickets. You can read about this at LasVegasSun.com. Yeah, the first big residency announcement we've had since COVID shut down entertainment in Las Vegas in March. One thing I thought was interesting is the Coliseum is the same place that Sting was supposed to start his residency back in May. Obviously, that had to be postponed as well, and now Sting, is on the calendar for January shows, and everybody is hoping that all these big show plans will come to fruition. In other Vegas headliner news, a little bit different kind of act, the Righteous Brothers, they are live streaming shows this week from the space. I wrote all about this, and I interviewed both Bill Medley and Bucky Hurd, both current Righteous Brothers. Spoke to them over the holiday weekend. They are super excited to do these shows. The first one is Wednesday, September 9th. You can go get more info. Like I said, read my story on the Las Vegas Sun website. Or if you want to get tickets, go to events.broadwayworld.com or thespacelv.com. In reopening news, there's some stuff happening. The Link Hotel, just the hotel portion, is set to open September 10th. The Link Promenade opened many of its attractions and stores on June 4th, and then the Link Casino opened on June 12th, and now the hotel is going to complete the circle. We also got the Four Seasons Hotel attached to Mandalay Bay tentatively planning to reopen on September 15th, and the Tropicana is looking pretty solid for a reopening on September 17th. One of my personal favorite Vegas singers, Ann Martinez, has got a live stream coming up, also from the space, coming up very soon. She's partnering up with Lisa Marie Smith, who was a past guest on my podcast here not too long ago. Ann Martinez has been in countless Vegas shows, including Baz and Pinup and Fantasy. She is the consummate Vegas entertainer. She writes, she produces. She's got her own show called Alice, a Steampunk Fantasy, that has been performed in several different venues around town. But she's best known as one of the most powerful and electric singers on the Strip these days, or anywhere else in Las Vegas. She had a very busy year planned. Obviously, that was disrupted, but she has managed to come up with some new plans, including this totally kick-ass cover that she posted on YouTube of No Time to Die, the new James Bond theme song, and her jazz trio Red Penny Arcade is performing in the daytime at the Grand Canal Shops at the Venetian. She's got a bunch of other stuff going on, including this live stream show coming up on September 19th with Lisa Marie Smith. Please check all that out and enjoy my interview this week with the great Ann Martinez.
You have always been one of the busiest and the hardest working singers in town. And I know you were working in the Terry Bradshaw show and Fantasy at Luxor just prior to the pandemic shutting everything down. But what else were you working on or planning when everything went on pause?
Well, I had a lot of stuff going on. I had, when I'm not in town, I tour a solo concert. So I was in the middle of tour, actually. I was in Bora Bora when everything hit really hard. So it was a little stressful there. I got home just in time before everything really shut down. And then I also was going to be performing at opening the party for One Drop for Cirque du Soleil. And then I had a few other projects that were supposed to be picking up in the fall. And I've also was working on a burlesque show that was in talks to open. So I had a bunch of, I just had a big old bunch of things just go kapoochie. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it was a lot. I had tour dates for my solo concert all the way through the end of the year. And then of course Fantasy once a week, and then Terry's show picked up quite a bit, especially in the fall. So I was very, very, very booked. So it was quite a hit.
Yeah, I got to talk to Terry right when things got shut down, and he was doing a few different things too. But what was it like on your end being a part of that show, which was a really different kind of show for Vegas and a different kind of star, I guess. But it was really picking up steam.
Oh yeah, he is one of the most incredible human beings I've ever met. I mean, and I mean that completely honestly. He's one of those people that just seems like very boisterous and just like loud and crazy and fun when you see him on TV. And, you know, a lot of times you think, oh, that's the persona someone puts on. And no, he is like that in life. And he's just, he's electric. He's also the kindest man. He's very genuine. He was all about featuring Lorena and I as singers and the band. And, you know, he doesn't have to do that. This is his moment to shine. And he was all about us singing together and harmonizing and working together and moving together. And a lot of the show, he follows a flow, but it's still kind of freestyle. So it was cool to watch him gauge the audience every night and kind of construct where we were going according to that. And he's just a doll. I mean, I've never laughed so hard. We had so much fun. And at one point in the show, a screen comes down and they show clips from his work in TV and film, and Lorena and I were behind it. And every night we would watch it and laugh, and we would look at each other and be like, this is the coolest job ever. Like, it was really cool. And to see the impact he's made on people's lives as a football player and just as a guy who came from nothing, it was really breathtaking. Every show we would have somebody that he had impacted in such a way. It was emotional. And he is very thankful for everything he has and very, very genuine. He's a good man. So it was an incredible experience. I'm excited for when, you know, when we do open up again and that comes back for people to experience his show, because it's really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of a few shows on the Strip that kind of just refined in their groove, and then this happened. So can't wait to get that one back again. Fortunately, you've been able to play a few different kinds of gigs during this time. I know I've been, you know, hunting the locations on the Strip to find as many live entertainment options as I possibly can to report about. And you've been performing at the Grand Canal Shops some days. What's that gig been like?
Well, that's been really cool. And I'm in a jazz band called the Red Penny Arcade, which is run by Peter Fand of, he's done numerous Cirque shows. He played in Baz. Recently he was playing in Zombie Burlesque. He's an incredible bassist, but he's an incredible musician. But we were at the Nomad with a residency, and we were kind of moving and grooving before the pandemic. And then when the pandemic hit, he called me one day and he said, hey, we got this gig. So he kind of set that gig up, and it was really interesting because everything had just opened. So we're right in St. Mark's Square on a platform. So it's just kind of like this band right in the middle of this very large area. And it's been, well, first of all, the acoustics in there are awesome. So we're having fun with that. But it's been really interesting to see just the change from everything from just the clientele to just the overall feel. Because we kind of do everything from, you know, stuff from like the 1920s to today. So we're kind of all over the place, and we kind of make everything a little quirky and fun, and just kind of watching the different groups of people coming in, and some people being exposed to the Venetian for the first time. And then our hours are 2 to 6 because everything shuts down early still. So a lot of the stores mm-hmm. aren't open yet, and we don't really see that many. We're really right by the three restaurants there. So we've got a cool relationship with those guys. It's been really awesome to have it. You know, we were only supposed to do it one day, and then they had us come the next day, and then we came the next weekend, and then they offered us a month and gave us another day. So it's really cool. We've been extended 3 times. So it's been a really cool, very fortunate situation where, you know, we can have an outlet to do what we do and still get paid well. So it's been really cool to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I bet. And it's just cool to be performing that kind of way where it's not, you know, it's not obviously in a traditional showroom or anything like that, or even in a lounge.
Yeah.
I think people are used to walking around different kinds of places in Las Vegas and just kind of encountering some sort of entertainment that they might not have known was there. And in these days when there's so little entertainment going on, live performance going on, I think it's really special to maintain things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had people hear us, and they're coming around the corner, and they run up. You know, they're so excited, and just to see live music. We've had a lot of people, you know, thank us after our set, and that we were the first live music they've heard since the pandemic, and it's been so wonderful. And, you know, we've had a lot of weddings, but, you know, people have had to change their plans and kind of do it on their own. And a lot of them are taking, you know, photographs in the Venetian. And whenever we see a wedding party, we always call them over and we'll sing a song for them so they can have that, you know, that wedding moment. It's been really cool to be able to give that to a couple starting their life out together. So it's just been really special and a very different experience, you know, but a really special one, very unique.
Now, I believe you also did a weekend set at Vegas Room, one of the newer venues, and another different kind of a venue. How did that go?
That actually, I had that booked like last fall. So they had contacted me a long time ago to do that. And I, of course, said yes. I mean, they're just the sweetest people. And they are really, you know, they're from New York. They're very passionate about bringing that intimacy with a really, you know, high-end, fancy meal, and where it's just stripped down to, you know, a guitarist and a singer or a pianist and a singer, and they can really get back to that, you know, real cabaret, you know, Vegas-style feel. And so I did that with Dan Ellis. He and I worked together quite a bit, and he's an incredible pianist. And it was such a cool experience. And it was weird because, you know, we were towards the beginning of the pandemic, and, you know, I didn't know people were going to come, and honestly, I was okay if they didn't want to. You know, it's just respecting people's boundaries, but also the Vegas Room has gone above and beyond in protocol. So, I mean, I felt extremely safe when I was there, and people went there were safe, and the food is incredible, and it was a really cool experience to share that kind of intimacy with an audience. I haven't done that in Vegas. I usually do that in my my solo concerts because, you know, they want to hear, you know, more of the stories of your life as a performer. Whereas in Vegas, I've always, you know, done shows and had a role to play, you know, so you don't really get too personal. So that was a really cool experience. And I'll be back there in November as well. But they've done something really, really special. I was extremely honored to be a part of that, especially right after the opening. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think in the live entertainment scene in Vegas right now, there's two places that people are talking about a lot because they are innovating and doing everything they can to, you know, still present entertainment in different ways during these crazy times. The Vegas Room is definitely one of them. The other one is The Space, which you have performed at many times as a pretty regular guest on Monday's Dark. And The Space is, of course, launching this really incredible series of live stream shows this week with the Righteous Brothers.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And you are going to be doing a show on the 19th with Lisa Marie Smith, who was on this podcast just a few short weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Well, she and I, we've known each other. Before I moved here, I was my best friend from college. He lived out here, and his daughter is my godchild. So he would book little gigs for me just to kind of check out Vegas on my breaks from tour and theater and stuff. And so I was kind of checking it out, and she and I did. I came here for 6 weeks to do a production of Jekyll and Hyde, and she was in the cast, and that's how we met. And so we, you know, just stayed in touch throughout the years. And she took over for me when I left after I opened Pin Up. I was there for 6 months, and then I left that production, and she took over for me there. So we've always just kind of, you know, been close. And I joined Baz about, I think it's like 3 weeks after opening, when she was there. And so we've just always stayed in touch and stuff. And we've always talked about doing something together. And, you know, we've been bouncing projects back and forth. And I'm always writing and creating. My master's degree is in show creation. So I'm always writing and just trying to think of new, you know, innovative entertainment for Vegas. And so when we got a call from Mark, asking us if we would be interested, we were like, okay, this is the time. I mean, it's a different situation. It's a live stream, and it's just like really, you know, kind of this quirky, unique situation that we're in. And I love it. It's really cool. And to partner with Broadway World and, you know, all the opportunities that we'll give, to the musicians to play in our band who, you know, maybe haven't played yet or not that much. It's just going to be a really cool outlet. And then we'll be experimenting with our music stylings as well. So it'll be a really cool experience where it won't be a typical two girls singing with a band. You know, it's mm-hmm. definitely going to be something different and special. And then with the music, Isaac and I have been discussing ways of combining old, you know, with new. And this is a great opportunity for us to test it, see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that one because both of you, on top of being phenomenal vocalists, you're both very versatile in your styles. You know, you can do a lot of different genres, I guess, and a lot of different kinds of songs and performances. So I'm pretty intrigued about what you guys are going to do when you finally are able to get together.
It'll be fun. I mean, I think there's one thing that, you know, Lisa and I really connect with when it comes to music. We both really are driven by the lyrics of a song and the story of it. Like why was it written? What was the writer trying to say? What do people feel when they hear this song? And we really are both very passionate about the lyrical structure of songs. So everything that we picked and the arrangements we made were extremely thought out and are all for a reason. And that's why I thought of the name Rue for the show, because, you know, we both have red hair and that's just something that people have always connected with us. But I started to really think about what does that color, you know, represent in everything from passion to war to pain, all of these things. And then the word Rue is I found it in a celestial story, but it's ruddy. It's almost like war paint. So it was almost kind of like the journey we both had in Vegas, like the ups and downs of you're on top of the world and then, you know, show closes, you have to start all over again, and how we both you know, didn't fall into the, you know, the sadness of something being gone, but always looking ahead to create more. And so that through line has driven us, and it's definitely connected to the show itself. So I'm excited about all the storytelling we'll be able to do in the show. And she's doing a song she's never done before. That's quite difficult, and it's hefty, and she's excited about it. And I've got a few things in there that are definitely ones that I haven't really touched on yet. So it's going to be a really cool journey for the audience to go on.
Yeah, I can't wait. Speaking of songs with great lyrics that tell a cool story, you posted a pretty rockin' version of No Time to Die a couple months back. The Billie Eilish song from the new James Bond movie that I don't think that movie's come out yet, right? They're still holding on to that one?
No. I think it's going to be November now. It was supposed to be in April.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I heard, I really like Billie Eilish. I love that she and her brother just created all this music in their basement. It's just, it's great. And her use of lyrics and, you know, her vocal styling of how she really doesn't push for volume or, you know, vocal gymnastics. It's just very raw and emotional. I really like that about her. And being so young, it's really cool that she has that intuitive, you know, imagination. But when I heard the new James Bond song, I was interested to see what she would do with it. And I really liked it. And then I read the lyrics and I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. These lyrics are devastating. And it was right when the pandemic hit. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll sing a cover of it. So I got like a really bad karaoke track online. And my husband and a friend of ours, we went out into the desert and shot some cool footage on my phone. You know, I was like, hey, we'll just do this. And at the time, there's a gentleman out here who owns Electric Shop Recording Studio, Andrew Beldy. And I had done work for him for a children's charity around Christmas time for kids that are battling cancer, where we recorded music for them. And he asked me if I could come in and record some background vocals for him. I was like, sure. So I put up a little clip of some of the footage we had shot with me singing on the karaoke track. And while we were going through this other song we were working on, he asked me about it. And I said, oh, yeah, I really like this song. I was like, you know, I would love to do it as a hardcore punk version. And he was like, well, we should. And I'm like, yeah, it'd be great. He's like, no, like, let's do it in a few days. I said, well, I'd love to, you know, but I, you know, it's kind of a hard time right now, like financially. He's like, no. He's like, I'm going to call people. We're just going to come in. We're going to do it. So he calls these ridiculous musicians who were, I had not worked with before. And we all sat down and I got everything from a cellist extraordinaire, a hardcore bassist rocker, a rocker drummer, rocker guitarist. And I said, well, this is what I want it to sound like. And I want it to start like this and go here and go there. And everyone was just like, okay, cool. And we jammed for a few hours that day. And then we came the next day and we laid it down. And it was like, boom, we're done. And it came out really well. Like, I was really surprised at how these people, we all just came together and it was just like none of us knew each other. And we just created this really cool track. And then it kind of blew up from there. And we ended up getting permission from the producers and the rights and a lot of support from Billie Eilish's engineers and producers. And it was just really cool. And they were extremely supportive and we were allowed to really release it. So that, you know, that was really exciting, especially in a time where, you know, losing all of us losing our jobs like that so quickly and so abruptly with like no end in sight. You know, everyone, we were all feeling pretty awful. So it was really cool to have all of us just come in and just nail this really cool arrangement so quickly. And we just had a blast. Yeah, it was just a really cool thing. I don't think I would have been able to do, you know, if the pandemic hadn't hit and I was working full time when I was here and I was traveling 2 weeks a month all over the world. Like I never had time to get in the studio like that. And because of the pandemic, I was able to. So it was just kind of trying to find the positive and the really frustrating times.
Yeah, that seems to be a common, I guess, silver lining in all of this, is that there is a little bit more time to be creative and try some new things and take advantage of some free time that entertainers like you don't really have usually.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just how I feel about things, but I just absolutely refuse to let this, you know, get me down. You know, it is tough. There are days when, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? This is nuts. Like, but then at the same time, you know, it's like, okay, I have no control over certain things, but what I do have is my mind and my soul and what I love to do. And so I'm just going to focus on that and just create as much as I can, as much as I want to every day. And if it comes out great, awesome. If not, that's okay. Tomorrow's a new day. And that way, when things are starting to open up, I'm going to be ready to go with new material, you know, new things. Because now my focus is on, okay, Vegas is going to be different. So what do we do now? How do we entertain people now? And I'm a big believer in there's always a solution. So that's kind of what my focus has been since, you know, and we were able to, we're creating Rue, you know, recording the song, getting to, you know, have a job 3 days a week, with the Red Penny Arcade, my band has been really awesome. And, you know, the Tuscany, owner, Brett Hears, has been extremely supportive and has kept all of his live music with protocol, of course, for the entertainers that have residencies there or play there occasionally. You know, my band plays there occasionally, and that's been really, really cool, to have those, you know, places. Ken Henderson with Notoriety, you know, before they were, you know, shut down, he had put in a ton of money to set up all the plexiglass and all the protocols. So we've got some really passionate, dedicated people in this town who are not going to, you know, stop. They're going to make it work, you know, and that's what we do as entertainers. You know, we just make it work. I've had, you know, it'd be a bad rainy day and it started to rain on stage and we just made it work, you know? So it's just us kind of, banding together to keep our industry alive. I think it's our biggest focus.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Very special thanks to Ann Martinez for helping me out and speaking with me today. Go to thespacelv.com and get your pay-per-view tickets to see her Rue show live stream with Lisa Marie Smith on September 19th, thespacelv.com. You can find past episodes of this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts, or you can listen and subscribe to The Sun on the Strip at Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be here next week.